Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
For the next couple of weeks, we're going to be taking a look at a series of parables that Jesus told in order to reveal more about what it means to be truly alive. If you talk to people, especially in our culture today, a lot of times you'll hear things like what are the leading causes of death? If somebody spoke to you about the leading causes of death, you might think of things like, for young people especially, you might think of things like texting. And as a result, we've created laws and guidelines so that we're not doing that while we're driving. We might say that the leading cause of death might be things like smoking. And so we've created boundaries of where people could smoke. We've put taxes on them in order to encourage people to give up that habit, to avoid the leading causes of death. But when we think about life, and we said so often when we think about death, we're running away from that, which is appropriate that we avoid certain things. We want to do things like we learn not to touch a hot stove, and so we avoid that. But so much of our life is going through the motions of what are those things that we're trying to avoid? What are we trying to avoid? Instead of, what are those things that we are running for? What are we running towards? What is it that brings your life meaning and significance that you are pursuing at a greater pace? Instead of just going through your life saying, I'm trying to avoid certain things, what are those things that we're moving towards? And especially when we talk about our own life, and are we filling our lives up with the things that add more value, or are we just trying to set boundaries to protect ourselves from the things that cause us pain and grief? During this past week, I had several people coming in that wanted to talk about the young girl that died rather suddenly, and we're kind of shocked into when a 12-year-old dies so suddenly, it kind of shocks our system and said, that's not the way it's supposed to work, but we know that life is fragile and there are no guarantees. And when those moments happen, life kind of comes into focus and we say, what is it really all about? What brings our life joy? And I had several people coming in saying, I really hope that family, and I don't know that this is true, but I hope that this family had a church family to rally around them. So I can't imagine going through something like that alone. And by articulating that feeling, we begin to realize that there are certain things in our life that really add value to them, that make us who we are, that are significant to us, that are important and are empowering. We're going to look at a parable that Jesus told. And you know this, you know these parables really well, but I want us to look at them for the reason that Jesus told them to those that were gathered here. What was going on at the time that Jesus has said, I want you to have abundant life. I don't want you to just avoid the pain and the anguish that can come from life. I want you to pursue abundant life. I want you to pursue joyful life. I want you to have a full life. I want you to pursue a path that will give you more passion and more energy, not just try and go through the motions. And so this morning we're going to take a look at those things. What are those things that bring life? What are those things that restore, that cause life to happen, that bring fullness to us? And are we pursuing that, finding new pathways to find what God has in store for us? In our parables, Jesus is going to share some of the reasons that make us human beings who we are. When you went through school, almost all of us, when you went through school and you had an English class, and you learn to write, almost all of us learned how to dissect and understand how a sentence is formed. You know, you have a noun and you have some action verb, you have a verb, and maybe you have some adjectives, and you know how to dissect a sentence. You know how that happens. And when you put it all together, you have a complete thought. But how many of us really understand what makes life what it is? If I were to ask you what is significant in your life, could you boil it down to those essential core elements that make us human beings, that make us who we are? Jesus is going to share that, and that's why he comes to explain to us in greater detail what it truly means to give us a choice. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, God is speaking through Moses, and he says, I'm giving you a choice, a blessing and a curse. Choose life that it may go well with you. Don't choose death. Don't just avoid the bare minimum, but pursue life. So we're going to open up God's word to Luke chapter 15 and experience all that God has in store for us. I wanted to share this picture with you because this kind of symbolizes where we're going to go. I found this picture and it really kind of spoke to me about there was an elderly man that sat in his easy chair waiting with diligence for his only regular visitor, the mailman. And we hear stuff like that, and we recognize that that is not truly living. He's sitting in his easy chair. He's probably, presumably, got enough food and water and oxygen, but he's not truly living. And so the question is, what brings true abundant life? Will you join with me as we center our lives on God's word? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know he has a purpose for my life. This is the parable of the lost sheep, but I want you to hear it in terms of what restores life. What problem is Jesus addressing by this parable? There's a question that is laying out there that Jesus is sharing. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they muttered, this man welcomes sinners and he eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, and then he goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, surround us today as your church, as your community, as your body. Help us bind our lives together. Help us find fulfillment and true life that you have come to offer. In Jesus' name, amen. At the beginning of this passage, Luke lays out a central question that Jesus then begins to fill out. It's not stated as a simple question, but it is inferred. And this question is that you've got the Pharisees and you have Jesus that has come and he is eating with publicans, tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes, kind of the people that have been on the outside of the religious establishment of the Pharisees. And you have another group that Luke identifies, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and they begin to mutter. They said, look at what he's doing. He's eating with these people. He's engaging in hospitality. He is essentially wrapping his arms around them as friends. And he says, don't you know who they are? These are people that are the outcasts of society. And so Jesus, what does it mean to be a part of the human condition, the human race? What does it mean to be a part of God's kingdom? So he begins telling this parable. And he tells the parable about a lost sheep. And about a shepherd that is not satisfied with just having 99 as long as that one is separated. And the one separated is not at this point being threatened by wolves. It is just separate from the flock. Now, if you know anything about sheep, you know that sheep are herding animals. They are communal. They love to stick together. But if that one is out by itself, it is vulnerable. It is not part of the flock. It is isolated. It is not whole. Now, the shepherd does not go and reprimand the sheep, does not say, what a dumb sheep. This is a dumb sheep that's over here, and that's why he's lost. But that the sheep belongs to the flock, that by being separated, it's not whole, it's not complete. There's a sense of bringing things together. And so this whole story is about making and building those connections, about reestablishing our connection to the whole. That one of the leading causes of joyful life, of significance for all of us, are the connections, the relationships that mean so much to us. Sometimes we get off track, sometimes we become selfish and we think about our own needs and we build up our own little kingdoms. But at the very core, throughout scriptures, there's this constant focus on make relationships your priority. Build relationships. Build those connections. And in this parable, Jesus is taking this sheep and bringing it back to the fold because it demonstrates what he's doing with the tax collectors and the sinners. Building relationships, building bridges between their lives and what God wants to do. Leading from relationships into healing. So the first thing that we have to understand is, what is the central core element of our human experience? Relationships. Connections are the purpose of life. Building relationships. To know God, to love God, and to love others. To build relationships. And throughout scriptures, it says we tend from time to time to get off track. We'll focus on money, we'll focus on power and privilege, but we're always being drawn back to those relationships that are so essential. And especially this week, when we've had so many tragedies, people that are struggling emotionally and spiritually and physically, we come together to say the most important thing are our relationships with one another. The core element of what it means to be human is to build relationships. The sheep that's off to itself is vulnerable, it's isolated, and it's powerless. It's not really part of a bigger whole. And Jesus wants us to recognize that when we're off by ourselves and we come away saying, I've got my own circle of friends, I don't need any more friends. I've got my own little clique and I don't need anybody else. We're cutting ourselves off from life, from blossoming, from experiencing more. It isn't that we're losing, but we're gaining more friendships, more relationships, and it's in those friendships that we grow and we have a vital, passionate life, because that's the core of what life is all about. But as a result of relationships, as a result of having these connections, it's through these connections that we gain confidence. We all need to grow. We all need to change. We all need to experience new things. As a result of our relationships with one another, we have the confidence to move, to make changes. How many of you remember the story of Zacchaeus, a tax collector who was up a tree? Jesus goes and makes a relationship. Zacchaeus, come down, because I'm going to have dinner at your house today. Jesus broke all the social norms by going to Zacchaeus, but as a result of that relationship, he was able to change his life. He was able to have the confidence to step out and make some of the changes that he needed to make. We all have changes that we need to make. We all are growing. We all need to mature. But as a result of our relationships to one another, our confidence, we can make those changes as part of the body of Christ. And what God had always intended is for the community, the body of Christ, to be a family that nurtures and inspires and forgives. That we can make those changes, that we can have the confidence, that we can venture and try new things as we explore what God is doing in our lives. The second thing that we learn is, as a result of this, we gain new confidence. We gain confidence and we gain courage to take the steps that are necessary. We're able to step out and gain the courage to try those new steps, to gain that idea that God is doing new things. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul is talking about the things that he can do. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. Paul recognizes that as a result of his relationship with Christ, he can do all these things. One of the things that psychologists tell us about growing healthy people is if you want to be emotionally healthy, you have to have a foundation, a solid foundation of people that you can depend on. You have to have some kind of a family, or you have to have some kind of a nucleus of people, of friendships that are solid, that are rock solid, in order for you then to become independent. See, as Americans, we love independence. We love people that can pull themselves up by their bootstraps and can do all of these things. But if you don't have a foundation of solid people that will help you, then you become narcissistic and a little neurotic because it's all about where you are and no idea of how it affects other people. As a result of having a core foundation, we're able to venture and we're able to try new things because we have that courage to take those steps. The core of our identity is in the people that we are connected to. They give us confidence and they give us courage. They are central to who we are. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from those relationships, you're empty. You're just a shell. But if you become part of my life, it will flow through you. And we understand that when you're part of a family, if you have a strong nuclear family, your character will reflect that family's values. It will reflect that base that you come from. When you're part of a church family, it also will affect and influence your lifestyle. Now, I love this picture of this little guy in the box, simply because of the choice of loneliness and isolation, but also the choice that God offers to us to be connected. It's almost as if it has no value if it's not connected to other people. So where do we want to go from this? I love this picture. Relationships create life. You look at this little picture and you just get a sense of happiness because they're together. They bring more energy to one another. When I was growing up as a kid, as a teenager, one of the groups that I liked to listen to and I still enjoy, Simon and Garfunkel. How many of you ever heard of Simon and Garfunkel? Beautiful. I love their music. They wrote a song, and I'm not sure what year. It was, maybe you've heard of it, I Am a Rock. Do you remember that song? In the beginning of the song, it's this sense of what's going on. I am a rock and I am an island. That was the chorus. And it goes through the most of the song. It talks about the challenges of life and about how I don't need anybody because I am a rock and I am an island. I am tough and I can do it all. I am a rock and I am an island. And it isn't until the very end, the very last line, as the song begins to kind of fade away, the singer, almost as an afterthought, just says, I am a rock and I am an island. Because a rock feels no pain and an island never cries. I have so isolated myself from the hurt of other people that I am a rock and I am an island. I feel nothing and I care for no one. Relationships make us who we are. They make us human beings. What Jesus is saying is, this sheep is not really anything by itself. Its only value is in community. And the community is lessened because of that one sheep. And so the shepherd is willing to leave the 99, the herd, and make it complete, make it whole. Until we're coming together in a community, sharing and receiving joyfully, we're not really fully human. And so it begs a question then, and this is the question that I must leave with you. You must think this through. If connections are the core value of our existence, then let me ask you, are you moving towards deeper, more significant relationships with God and others? Or are you moving away? Are you satisfied with right where you are? I'm a rock and I'm an island. Or are you venturing into new things, new studies, new groups, new dynamics, making relationships, meeting new people, developing that relationships with your church family and getting involved? Or are you kind of on the outside? Now, here's where this all comes together. Because I believe that our definition of hell simply means the total isolation, eternal isolation, of that you've chosen. I have all that I need. I am a rock and I am an island. And so God says, then let it be so. And I think as we think today, ask yourself, are you moving away from the causes of death, or are you moving into abundant life, more relationships, better, more significant connections, a new, full, and abundant life? In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He's talking about your relationship to God and to others, that you may have life to the full. How will you choose your future? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you continue to reach out to us, that we continue to experience you in fellowship with one another. We pray, O God, that we can continue to be faithful to pursue the life that you've given to us in Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, we have been blessed so much by God's grace. Let us continue to worship by the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings.